our series called No Matter What, and today we want to talk a little bit about anxiety. And here's a letter that someone wrote talking about their normal month that they've had. And it says this: Dear so-and-so, my life stinks. How's the family? I'm okay, really I am, but don't touch me or I'll have to kill you. As you can probably tell from the preceding, everything is pretty normal around here. The furnace isn't working right. The car is hanging on, having only required a $500 clutch and brake job. The washing machine fell apart in the Westfall household. It was the dryer this past month. The washing machine fell apart. The hard drive on my PC crashed and burned. Well, the solution there is get a Mac. All right. The door fell off the dishwasher, and we've had a hot water leak, and you can hear it running, but we can't find it. That is just in the last month. We have other exciting stories dealing mostly with money that I don't want to bore you with. I know someone's bound to have it worse than me. I pity the fool. But occasionally, I think Job had it easy. Today, I decided to write down a list of the things that are causing me stress, thinking that if I got them down on paper, they may not seem so bad. I quit at number 17. It stressed me out. That's the end of that letter. Now, that's a normal month. Normal meaning stress, uncertainty, broken things. That's a normal life. And that is the hallmark of our American society, is anxiety. In fact, if I remember the stats correctly, America is the number one country with the highest rate of anxiety in the world. And if you read the local newspaper, I usually read it every day, and you read that local newspaper and you read all the things going on in our state and in our country and the world, your anxiety level just keep increasing as you read that. And anxiety... Anxiety causes us to ask the question, what if? What if? It's the feeling of trepidation. It's like living on a pirate ship's plank all day long. It has that way to kind of hover over you like a depressing cloud throughout your day. That's anxiety. Now, how can we deal with anxiety? Well, first of all, you have to realize that anxiety robs us of our health. It causes us not to sleep well. It ruins relationships. And most of all, it sucks the joy out of our lives. So how do we deal with anxiety? Well, in our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us three ways as Christ followers that we can deal with anxiety. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. I want to read through the whole passage, and then I want to come back and look at three biblical ways that Paul gives us in dealing or ditching anxiety. Paul writes in Philippians 4:1 these words. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then when you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Here's the idea that I want you to see in this passage, and that is experience peace. Experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Experience that peace in the midst of uncertainty. Now, there's two possible outcomes when we face uncertainty in our lives. The first one is peace, and the other is anxiety. Anxiety, according to Webster's Dictionary, is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. As I stated earlier, it's like living every day on the plank of a pirate ship. Peace is a state of tranquility and calmness. And anxiety robs you of joy, and peace abounds with joy. And when anxiety comes knocking at the door of your heart, you have a choice to make at that moment. You can allow anxiety to come in and sit at the table of your soul, or you can say, no, don't come in, and deal with it biblically as we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at three ways that we can do that, but what I want to say before that is this. The key to experiencing peace as we have this relationship with Jesus Christ, the key to experiencing peace is to train ourselves with biblical ways to deal with anxiety. This has been a huge lesson for me this year. If you've been here throughout the summer and this fall, I've been sharing a little bit of my journey with anxiety. And one of the things that I'm learning through this is that there are some biblical ways that we need to follow, and it has to be part of training. We have to, that when anxiety comes knocking at the door, are we going to do this or not? And if we don't, anxiety will come in and predominate our hearts and our lives and our minds. The other thing I want to mention is this. What I'm about to share with you, these three biblical ways, someone asked me, they said, you know, if I just do those three things, does that mean my anxiety will automatically all go away? And I hesitated for a moment. And I came up with this answer. I said, yes and no. Isn't that a good answer? Yes, if you've kept short accounts with anxiety. No, if you've allowed anxiety to come in and take root in your life. In other words, if anxiety comes, an anxious moment, and instead of doing the things that we're going to talk about, instead we allow it and we let it penetrate our hearts and begin to dominate our thinking, and then another anxious moment comes and we allow it in, now we begin to live in this quagmire of anxiety. And to say, for me to stand up here and tell you, all you have to do is A, B, C, and you'll have this wonderful peace and all your anxiety is gone. It doesn't work that way when you've allowed it to build up in your lives. It takes time and it's a process. A process of needing to talk with some folks, maybe see your doctor, begin to practice these three biblical ways and work through the layers of anxiety that is built up. That's what I had to do. And I'm still in process on this. You know, and so don't sit here and think you've allowed your life to be dominated with anxiety, and then you think, well, I've tried to pray with thanksgiving and it hasn't worked. Well, it's a combination of things when you're in that kind of state. Now, when we keep short accounts and we've dealt with anxiety and we're not letting it dominate our lives, yes, then when we follow these three things, anxiety is going to leave and we're going to have peace. I hope that makes sense, because I don't want to go through these things and have you discouraged because you've tried some of these things and it hasn't worked and I guess I'm hopeless. No, you're not. Christ doesn't want you to live with anxiety like this. He wants you to have joy and peace. And so there is hope. Don't give up hope. Come talk to me. Talk to someone, and we'll walk with you and help you in this journey. So let's look at these three things. The first one is this: confidence in God's sovereignty. In verse 4, Paul writes, "Always be full in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Now, when I memorized this verse as a kid, it was rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, right? And we learned this little chorus in Sunday school. How many of you remember this little chorus? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Yes, good. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Come on, sing it with me. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Come on. Yeah, all right. Now, then what we would do is we'd sing it in as a round. Not this way, but... And so I want us to try that. Who wants to help me do the other part? I didn't ask anybody ahead of time. Kirsten, come on up. Help me out. Come on. Come on. You do turn it up, don't you? Come on. You can do this. All right. Give her a round. Okay. Come on, Kirsten. Woo! You can shoot me later. Right up here.
I'm glad he's not
going to
have us do the around part.
Yeah, yeah. Woo, now we are. Okay, so I'll start us off. I'll take this side. You've got this side. I'll start, and you see the little red asterisks? That's when your side comes in.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And then we'll just go through it once. We would go through it multiple times in children's church. Okay, so I'll start us off, and you bring him in on that one. Okay? Okay, you ready? Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Yay! Thank you, Kirsten. Okay, so I learned that little chorus when I was a kid. And 3 weeks ago, when the dermatologist told me that the two spots on my arm and the one on my leg could be melanoma, that little chorus did me no good. What got me through the week till Friday morning when I got the call that it was benign, what got me through that week was confidence that God is in control. Trusting that God is always good, He's faithful, and He has a plan for my life, that's what got me through that week. You see, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. That is, that our joy is this deep sense of well-being, what I call a settledness in my soul that overflows with irrepressible delight. And my deep sense of well-being in that moment, on that Monday morning, was not in my circumstances, but it was in Christ, in His control, in His power, in His goodness, and in His love, and in His faithfulness. We fight anxiety with the reality of these two little words, but God. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he went into Egypt as a slave. And through God's divine plan, he worked himself up until he was the second in charge of the whole nation of Egypt. And God showed Joseph that there would be a famine for 7 years, but before the famine of 7 years, there would be 7 years of abundant crops. And he told Joseph to save as much grain as you can for the 7 years of famine, which they did in Egypt. And the rest of the known world was going through this famine and running out of food, so they would go to Egypt to get some grain in order to survive. And his brothers, who sold him into slavery, who probably thought he was dead at that point, came to Egypt came and found Joseph there, and they were scared to death that he would take revenge on them. And this is what Joseph said. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. But God, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. The greatest demonstration of but God is Jesus Christ. When Peter was giving a sermon about Christ after the church began, he said these words. This is part of his message. He says, but God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. God wasn't surprised by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It was a part of his plan. He's in control. God is never surprised by the stressful times and the difficult times and the challenging times and the horrific times in your life. He either plans it to happen that way or he plans to allow it to happen that way, but he's never surprised and he's always there in the midst of it. Notice the next sentence, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. But God, that's the phrase that gives us joy and hope in the midst of anxious moments. When the company is downsizing and you don't know whether you'll have a job, but God is in control. When your cancer comes back, but God is with you. When your child rebels and shouts at the top of their lungs that they hate you, but God is in the midst of that and he is in control. That's the hope that we have. That's the basis of our joy. That's how we ditch anxiety. By having our confidence. It's an issue of trust. Will we trust, believe in that moment that God is with me, that he is in control? When we encounter anxiety, we have a choice. Will we cave in to the pandemonium of life, or will we trust and the absolute sovereignty of God? That's our choice. Secondly, the way to ditch anxiety is to pray with thanksgiving. Paul writes these words, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The first thing Paul tells us seems like it's absolutely unattainable. Notice what he says, don't worry about anything. A lot of translations have, don't be anxious about anything. And we say, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there's so many things. And when I hear about it, you know, I get anxious. Does that mean I'm sinning? Absolutely not. Paul is not talking about those moments when you encounter something and anxiety is knocking at the door of your heart. What he's talking about here is allowing it to come in and living in a perpetual state of anxiety. The verb here, don't worry or don't be anxious, is in the present active tense, which means an ongoing state. Max Lucado said it well in his new book, Anxious for Nothing. He says, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. Unquote. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. I think too many times we as Christ followers have lived under such guilt because we feel anxiety. And then we get anxious over our anxiety out of our guilt. And let's just be upfront with each other. We can't avoid anxiety, but we can make it optional in allowing it to enter into our hearts and entertaining it and become a prisoner to it. That's the choice we make the moment we feel anxious. And Paul says, when we have that anxiety, pray. Pray. Pray about everything. And then he goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So when we pray, he says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So here's my advice. Take your worry list and make it your prayer list. Okay, take your worry list and make it your prayer list. And as you're praying about all these things, be very specific. Also be thanking God for what he's done. That day, that week, that month, and even generalities as far as our redemption in Christ and his presence in our lives, but also being specific about that day, what you're thankful for, that he's done, that you're alive, awake. You know, someone says, I'm glad to see you today, and I will say, oh, it's good to be seen, right? It's good to be vertical. We take a lot of things for granted, and Paul says, pray with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is critical in this process. If you leave thanksgiving out, it's not going to be effective like the Holy Spirit wants it in your life, because what thanksgiving does is that by thanking God for what he's done, you're releasing your worries into his hands as you express them to him. It puts the focus on the positive, on God and what he's doing, and it helps you release that anxiety to the Lord as you pray with thanksgiving. So turn your worry list into a prayer list. Yesterday, Saturday, early afternoon, I'm working to finish up my sermon, and I read this really good article that someone sent me on Thanksgiving. Said this, you might find this interesting for your sermon. So I read that, and by the way, I have a link to it in the message notes in our New Covenant app. And if you'd like to go and read it, it'd be a great article to focus on this week with Thanksgiving. But as I read that, I thought, I need to journal on this right now. I need to take a few minutes and journal on it. So I stopped my sermon prep, opened up my digital journal, typed some things on there, and then that took me into a time of prayer. There were several things that I was beginning to feel anxious about. And I said, I just need to take this and pray about it. And I became very specific what I was feeling, the specific things that would be happening today, later on in the week, that was making me feel anxious. And I was very specific. But then I made sure that I thank God. I did it with thanksgiving, thanking him for that day of having this period of time in my study where I could focus on the sermon and not feel pressure, to thank him for my beautiful bride who's upstairs, guess it wasn't that day, but the day before, making a pumpkin pie that we got to enjoy yesterday. She makes the best pumpkin pie in the world. Okay, but be thankful and be specific about what you're thankful for. Paul says, pray specifically, pray for everything, tell God what you need. He cares about you. Tell him about what you need, but do it with thanksgiving. Then Paul says, when we do this, we will experience God's peace, and it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. I in my own life and in other people's Christ followers' life, I've seen them have a peace and a joy that just transcends any understanding. It doesn't make sense. I'll never forget the time when Roland Dieter, his wife Winifred, had a major surgery, and we went to see her in intensive care, and she had all these monitors and tubes and everything. It was a scary view to look at her after that surgery. And Roland Dieter, and they're both in their 70s at this time, and Roland walks in, and you could see a fear on his face as he looked at his wife. And we could only stay for a minute, and then we walked back to the waiting room. By the time we got back to the waiting room, he had a calmness on his face. He had a peace that God had given him in that moment of time that just didn't make sense. Why? Because his joy and his peace wasn't based on his circumstances. It was based on Christ. And he was confident in the sovereignty of God. He had been in prayer for this whole ordeal with his wife. He had lifted it all up to God. That's what Paul's talking about. And it will guard our hearts like an army soldier will guard an entrance to a building to keep the enemy out. God's peace is like that soldier that helps keep the anxiety from entering into our hearts as we pray with thanksgiving. The third way, the third thing that Paul gives us here is to meditate on Christ. Meditate on Christ. It says in verse 8, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Now, years ago, I memorized this verse, and you go through this process of saying, okay, that's the filter that I'm going to use to determine what I allow my mind to focus on, to think about. And so we you know, pure and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And you go through this list, and then you think, did I remember all of them? Did I get them all right? So what I suggest is focus and meditate on Christ and his beauty and his glory and his truth and his love, his praise. Because isn't Christ, isn't he true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise? The mind cannot be full of God and full of anxiety at the same time. So as we meditate on Christ and fill our minds up with his love and his grace and his truth, it helps keep anxiety out of our hearts and our minds. Isaiah put it this way in chapter 26. He says, "You will keep in perfect peace. You, God, will keep us in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock." You see, experiencing peace in the midst of uncertainty begins and ends with Jesus. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the slaves and freedom to the prisoners. And that includes those of us who are in the prison of perpetual anxiety. He wants to free you from that. The issue is, will you choose to entertain the anxiety and get locked in the prison of anxiety? Or will you choose to have confidence in God's sovereignty, to pray with thanksgiving and meditate on Christ? That's the question. And that's the issue. Will you trust him? Will you pray? Will you meditate on Christ? Now, some of you are thinking, I don't know about that. Because I don't think God really understands my particular situation. In fact, I don't think anybody understands it. Yes, God understands it, because he's been through worse. His son died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. You say, but yeah, but you know, God could never put up with me because of what I did. Or God could never put up with me because of what happened to me. Yes, he will. Because that's what grace is all about. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. When we've done things wrong, when we've done a life that isn't pleasing to him, he graciously forgives us. And when we've had things done to us, that isn't us that did it. That was someone else. And God understands that and is loving and compassionate to you. God understands, and God will always be there no matter what. So yes, this is for you. But when anxiety comes knocking, you have a choice to open the door and let it come and sit at the table of your soul, or to keep the door shut and trust in the sovereignty of God, pray with thanksgiving, and meditate on Christ. In his book, Worry Less and Live More, Robert Morgan writes these words. My friend Linda Derby once faced a health crisis in her family. Her daughter-in-law, Becky Derby, mother of two little boys, was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a devastating case. On the day the bad news hit, Linda said it felt as if a black cloud of poisonous insects was swarming around her head, and she was panicked with fear. She later wrote, as I sought God and started to pray, he brought to mind the words of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. After this epiphany, I decided to really get serious about talking to God. I started telling him everything our family was experiencing, our worries, anxiety, fear, depression, anger, and uncertainty. I told God what we wanted, such as peace and assurance that Becky would be all right. Then I tried to think of all the things God had done that I was thankful for, just like Paul had instructed. And to my surprise, there were many good things that had recently happened. She went on to list five distinct blessings, and she was surprised at how she had nearly overlooked them. By the end of the evening, she said the cloud of insects had been swept away by the Spirit of God, and she was able to go to bed with peace in her heart and enjoy a restful night of sleep. The question is tonight, or today is, what will you decide in that moment? In that moment of an anxious event, at that moment when anxiety comes knocking at the door, what will you choose? The choice is yours. God can't make you choose to reject anxiety and trust in him and pray with thanksgiving and meditate on Christ. He's given you the Holy Spirit in you to help you choose that and have the power to do it, but you have the choice. What will you choose? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you offer us peace, a calmness and tranquility that brings about a joy, a deep sense of well-being, that's based on Christ and not our circumstances, no matter what we face. And you don't want us to live in the prison of anxiety. You don't want us to not have this joy that you said, rejoice in the Lord always. You want us to always have this deep sense of well-being that overflows with irrepressible delight. So, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. I know everyone in this room wrestles with anxiety to some extent. And, Father, I pray that they would choose to trust you, to pray with thanksgiving, to meditate on Christ. That they would choose to keep the door shut and keep anxiety out of their soul. For those who have wrestled with this for some time and they've been in this prison for a long time, Lord, encourage them that there is hope to take the next step, to talk to someone, to pray with someone, to see their doctor, to begin implementing these three ways to ditch anxiety and begin to work themselves out of this prison. Thank you for your power to help us do so. Thank you that no matter what we sit, what we face, we can say, but God. But God is in control. God has our back. God always is working for our best interests at heart. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.